Well, it's good to be here with you this morning. And I have to admit to you that I love what I do. This morning I was thinking to myself, you know, I get to do this. And I feel honored to be able to come before you and to speak a word. And I feel humbled also. So in today's scripture reading, this is in John 15, the word love is repeated 9 times. And the phrase love one another is repeated 4 times. And this is in just 8 verses. So obviously there is this repetition to make a point, because when the Bible repeats something, it repeats it for emphasis. So the primary emphasis of this scripture is to love one another. Now, this phrase, love one another, is the simplest thing in the world, but it is the most difficult to put into practice. And that's how I identify a spiritual truth. It is infinitely simple, yet infinitely challenging to put into practice. Well, Jesus didn't give us any laws or commandments per se, except for this one, which we read in John 15, verse 12, which is, I command you to love one another. And this was considered the one law that Jesus gave. And that is why in the early church, the earliest writers and teachers of the church, they would refer to John 15:12 as the law of Christ. And they would sometimes say in some of their messages, because I've read through some of the writings of the early church, I find some of those early writings really have that purity of the original message. And what those early writers would say is that there is one requirement if you want to be a person of faith, that is the Christian faith, and that is you have to abide by the law of Christ. And that law is to love one another. Now, one of the big challenges in trying to say anything about this phrase, love one another, is that the word love has been so misused and it has been so overused in our culture that it has almost completely lost any meaning for us. So that is why this morning I want to give you what I think is the very best summary of this phrase, of this law of Christ, that I've ever come across. And it is a summary that is given to us, and I will add my own anecdotes, but it is a summary that is given to us by the great preacher Bill Coffin, also known as William Sloan Coffin, Jr. Bill Coffin said that the entire Bible can be summarized by 4 stages, and that actually our individual moral development can be summarized in 4 stages. And these are also the 4 major stages, Bill Coffin believes, of civilization itself. The first stage he calls unlimited retaliation. The second stage is limited retaliation. The third stage is limited love, and the fourth stage is unlimited love. So let's begin with the first stage. The first stage is unlimited retaliation. Now, this is the way things were in the Old Testament before Moses. This means that if I accidentally kill your beloved cat, Mitzi, who sits on your lap every afternoon, if I accidentally kill Mitzi, in a fit of passion and blind rage, you come over to my house. You kill not only my cat, but my 2 dogs and my 5 cows. Now that is unlimited retaliation. And we might think that this is something that happened back in Old Testament times, people going into blind rages and this unlimited retaliation, but we actually see it on the news quite often. You will see that when the Palestinians kill 2 Israeli soldiers, that in retaliation, the Israelis will flatten an entire city block, they will kill 80 people, and they will wound 50. This is called unlimited retaliation. This also happens in Mexican drug cartels. If somebody's gang member gets killed, in retaliation, they will kill three of the other gang's members. This also happens in LA gangs. We read about it on the news. There's a drive-by shooting, two gang members are killed. In retaliation, that gang will go and kill five or six of the other gang's members. This is actually no law at all. This is the law of the jungle. This is the law of unlimited retaliation. And we read about it in the book of Genesis. It was the way of the world in the Old Testament. Then the prophet Moses comes along, and the prophet Moses wants to put limits on the violence, wants to put limits on the retaliation. So if I am somebody who follows the Mosaic law, or if you're somebody who follows the Mosaic law, if I accidentally kill your beloved cat, Mitzi, in retaliation, you can come over with the authorities to my house and you can put my cat to sleep. But the violence ends there. You cannot go on to my dogs or to my cows. It stops with the cat. And this is actually a huge step forward in the human family. In the 21st century, people cringe when they hear the laws of Leviticus where it says, there's an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. People think that's so horrible, but it's actually a huge improvement. Because now if I accidentally poke out one of your eyes, you can poke out one of mine. We are even. The violence ends there. There's no more violence after that. And if I accidentally knock out one of your teeth, you can knock out one of mine, and the violence ends there. There are limits now. And that's a huge improvement. When we read the laws of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, they're all about limiting the violence. So we get even, but no further. And this we see in our world today also. We see it in the penal justice system, where if you do the crime, you do the time. We also see it in people who try to justify capital punishment. They say, this person killed someone, now they must die. So this is the second moral stage that Bill Coffin talks about. We go from unlimited retaliation to limited retaliation, which is a big improvement. But then we move on to the third moral stage, which is limited love. Now, limited love is a beautiful thing. It is the love that we have for people who are our own. In other words, when you see a mother and a mother is just doting on their child, showering them with love, it's a beautiful thing. It is a truly beautiful thing. And that is the love of our neighbor. And this is made explicit in Leviticus 19, verse 18. You should love your neighbor as yourself. But if we go back into the early writings of the rabbis, when the rabbis were making commentary on Leviticus 19, they were very clear that your neighbor is the person who speaks your same language, they're your same nationality, they're your same ethnicity. They also have your same religion. These are your neighbors, and these are the people that you are to love. But those people over there, the Philistines, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amalekites, you can slaughter them if you have cause, because they are not your neighbors. They do not speak like you. They do not pray like you. They do not look like you. They don't even vote like you. So they're not your neighbors, right? And that's the way it was. That's the way it was in the Old Testament times, and that's how Leviticus 19 was understood. Then comes along this radical rabbi named Jesus, and he's just turning everything upside down. And so there's this young man who comes to Jesus, and this is in all the Gospels. This young man comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus says, you need to follow the commandments, and you need to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, this young man, he must have had a subgenius IQ. He must have been brilliant, because he asks Jesus the $1 million question, and that is, Jesus, who is my neighbor? That is the main question. Because up until Jesus, My neighbor is the person who prays like me, thinks like me, talks like me, looks like me. Well, Jesus' response is he gives the story of the Good Samaritan. And when he gives the story of the Good Samaritan, it horrifies everybody who hears it, because the Jews despise the Samaritans. They despise them so much that they will go 40 miles out of their way on a walking journey just to bypass Samaria, just so they don't have to go through Samaria. That's how much they despise the Samaritans. And so Jesus makes the hero of his story the Samaritan. And then after he gives his story, he says to the young man who's asked them the question, "Who is my neighbor?" He says, "Now, which of these people in my story was the most of the neighbor to the man who fell among thieves?" And the young man says, "The Samaritan." And Jesus says, "Go and do likewise." In other words, Jesus, in those few words, just blew the doors of Judaism wide open. He said, your neighbor is no longer just the person who looks like you and talks like you. Your neighbor even includes the despised Samaritan. And we can safely say your neighbor even includes the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amalekites, all these people, even the Philistines. It includes all these people. The world before Jesus had never comprehended such an idea. It's totally outside of anything they ever would understand. Because up to that point, people were very tribalistic. If you were in my tribe, I will take care of you. I will look after you. I will knock on your door to make sure that you're home, that you're not sick. I will look after your kids. But if you're not in my tribe, I don't care about you. And so Jesus takes us to a whole new stage, a whole new moral development, which is beyond tribalism. It goes from limited love to unlimited love, which is the final stage, according to Bill Coffin. And this world has not come anywhere close to Jesus' moral genius. If we really believed that those people over in Iraq and those people over in Syria and all those different people, that they were really our neighbors, if we really believed that in our hearts, this world would be a totally transformed place. Be very different from what we see on the news today. So we have a very long way to go. But the beauty of Christianity is that we have this challenge set before us by Jesus to in some way try to bring this human family to the next stage, one person at a time, one community at a time. Now, I must say that it is very easy for churches to become insular. It is very easy for churches to say, you know, we'll take care of those people who are in our tribe. We care about the folks sitting in our pews. But come on, we don't want to extend ourselves too far out there. I mean, we've got enough people who have challenges right here in our congregation. But that is when we become insular and we don't become authentically the church. Because the church is authentically, I think, most deeply in the hospice wing, in the Alzheimer's unit, in the prison, in the hospital, across the border in Nogales, New Mexico, in Keeling Elementary School. These are the places where the church can most become alive and they can most embody the law of Christ, which is to love all of our neighbors, not just those who look like us and talk like us and pray like us. So this is not, it's not an easy word. I struggle with it myself. It is not something, I have not achieved the fourth moral stage myself, I don't believe. But we are constantly challenging ourselves as a community. And I do believe that one part of the gospel that people don't like to hear, but it's true, and that is every once in a while we need to be outraged. Jesus throughout the gospels at times was outraged. And if we lessen our outrage, we water down the gospel. For instance, this very night, 10% of American children will go to bed hungry. That is an outrage in our wealthy nation. That should not happen. And if we minimize that outrage, we water down the gospel. Jesus cares about the children in America who will go hungry tonight. Jesus cares about the orphans in that Ukrainian orphanage where the facilities are abominable. Jesus cares about the Syrians who are pouring over the border into Europe, those immigrants. Jesus cares about all of these people. And so today I want to end with some celebration. I celebrate, and I wanted to write a few of these things down. Part of the reason that I accepted the job here at Casas Adobes UCC is because I can perceive that this church cares about so many people who are beyond these walls. And I see it here in so many of the contributions, $1,200 to One Great Hour of Sharing, $900 Neighbors in Need, $1,500 to the Christmas Fund, $1,000 to Strengthen the Church, $140 to Mission Fund, $140 Sow the Seed, $14,000 to our conference so that our still speaking God can continue to speak. And Keeling Elementary School and Interfaith Community Services and the Food Bank, the Veteran Fence Project, Just Coffee, U of A Students to Vienna, Primavera Food Shelter for the Homeless. And it has all these dollar amounts that have been contributed, which amount to a very impressive sum of about $30,000. And then there's the Heifer Project, the Alternative Christmas Giving, the work with the women in Nogales, Mexico, and the list goes on. But that to me, folks, is why I do what I do. That to me is why we are the church. And that is how our church is going to continue to gain momentum and vitality, is it's going to live into the law of Christ, and it is going to have a mission to reach out to all these people who Jesus loves. And today I celebrate those people who somehow are able to move from the stage of unlimited retaliation to limited retaliation. I celebrate the people who can move from limited retaliation to limited love. And I celebrate those brave souls and those brave communities that somehow were able to move beyond the tribal mentality and go from limited love to unlimited love. Will the people say amen?